Sunday, and you are listening to the Microsoft Recap. Here's your host here, Mike B, of course, as always, as usual. And as usual, per se, we got my man, Mike B, also. Yeah, what's going on, man? How you feeling?
What's going on? Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Just here enjoying this 4-day weekend, MLK Day tomorrow.
MLK. Yeah, yeah. I celebrate by just being black and going up and down MLK Boulevard every day. Yeah, man, that's just, I don't wait till his birthday to celebrate MLK. I do it every day. I mean, at least Monday through Friday, at least.
MLK, what's your deuces in your trees? But go ahead, man.
Yeah. But yeah, today we got a good couple of topics to talk to you guys about Microsoft. First topic that we have is an important topic. Microsoft has a known vulnerability that is out that is potentially going to affect millions. It would affect millions. Article topic is that Microsoft will fix an Internet Explorer security flaw under active attack. So if you're using Internet Explorer, you shouldn't.
I can go on there all day, man. Like, yeah, man. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean that's just basics. Like, they already they don't even support it anymore. So I mean, they've been pushing the Edge. So if you guys know about Edge, you should be using Edge. Don't use Internet Explorer. Mostly it's businesses that's still using it.
Also known as Microsoft Chrome.
Yeah, yeah. And then the second topic that we have is officially as of say earlier this week. I want to say like Wednesday or so. Microsoft Edge, the new version of Microsoft Edge, not the one that y'all used to with Windows 10, but the new one that came out a couple days ago, is available now for Windows 10 and Mac OS. And that's available now. This article will show you how to download it, but we're going to elaborate on the topics about it. You can click on the link to find out more about the actual process to get it. And then the last topic that we're going to talk about is Microsoft going carbon negative, not even neutral, carbon negative. And what does that actually mean for the organization in general? But yeah, let's start off with this first topic. The most important of the few, if you are using an old version of Windows, if you're using Windows 7 or you're using Internet Explorer, you basically need to stop doing that right now because there is a security flaw with Internet Explorer that basically allows for an attacker to basically get full on control of the system via Internet Explorer, which is crazy because it's weird for a web browser to be able to get you full on access to a machine. But that's kind of the way Internet Explorer was built out and designed. So it's just part of Windows, essentially. So this system, essentially, it affects you. So if you go to these websites, these malicious sites, and it's hard to say which one is a malicious site, you just, you know, when y'all look up those illegal downloads and illegal movies and whatnot, you're bound to jump into this scenario.
www.xvideos.
Yeah, exactly. If you're in them X videos, then
on RedTube.
If you're feeling lonely, if you want to check them out right now, you might get something else on there. You might not get an STD, but you're gonna get some type of other infection.
Your computer will.
Yeah, exactly. But essentially, the vulnerability is basically out, and they're not really talking about patching it anytime soon. They said that they will probably come out with a patch next month on February 11th. They're not worried about it. And the main reason that they're not worried about it, because you shouldn't be using Internet Explorer anyway. I mean, they told people for months, and I know nobody really paid attention because, you know, they ain't marketed or anything, but they've been telling people for a while that you got to stop using Internet Explorer and that you should be using Edge as the default. If you're using Edge, the old version of Edge, the one that came with Windows 10 originally, then you're not vulnerable to this. You pass that bar at least, so it's not even an issue for you. In most cases, like I said, it's for companies. It's for companies that that use the old versions.
I don't really, and that's what I was going to jump into, man. Is that so? Every company that I've worked at in my professional tenure, whether it be enterprise applications, you know, whether it be a SaaS product, they always seem to build stuff on Internet Explorer. And I'm just like, bro, I mean, I work here, you know, and I, so I have to, you know, maintain my, but there's no idea, like a lot of companies don't really do cross platform. This is, I guess more just to give people a forewarning, I'm about to jump into, I guess, some real high tech talk right here. But as far as like cross platform browser development, these companies just don't get it. And I know that although Internet Explorer, I think, I don't know why, maybe it's because it's easier or something like that. Or when around the time when these companies start their initiative of developing a product for an end user, it's so dated that they don't catch up to speed or even jump into developing something for you know, another browser. You know, it's crazy to me because, and for one, I've always felt like Internet Explorer doesn't give me the greatest user experience. For one, it just doesn't. The interface just looks ugh, as well as yeah. You know, the vulnerabilities and stuff like that. And then two, like what we're reading here, it gets crazy with what people are able to do with Internet Explorer. Most of the time in my past, when I've had issues with, you know, my exploits of looking at things I probably shouldn't have been looking at online, it's because I was using Internet Explorer, you know, and you know, with Chrome, and you know, and I know they talked about in the article that Mozilla also has that issue, but it's like, I don't know, I Internet Explorer has always just been, you know, bottom of the barrel, like even below Safari, you know, and I don't know why, you know, and even with it's crazy because even with Microsoft and this, they even saying like, look, it's a serious web browser vulnerability that gets people, you know, people that are smart enough, they're able to hijack your computer. But, you know, we'll get to it next month. That just lets you know that...
No, you don't mean nothing to them.
You know, yeah, it don't mean nothing to Microsoft, man. So, all in all, it just goes to show that in so many ways, man, that like just be mindful of what you're doing out there and keep up with the times, because it's a lot of people who use this application, who use this web browser, and they have no idea what they open themselves up to, because as computers and things just become, computing in itself becomes more advanced, so do people trying to exploit the vulnerability and find a vulnerability. So if you're looking at a browser that's been around since the beginning of, you know, I guess when browsing started, right? When browsing started.
Yeah, and, like 9.6, 9.7. Yeah, well, really like 9.5, but yeah, like 9.6. What was it, Windows 95 that came out?
Windows 95, yeah. 2.0 or something like that. But, you know, it's been around for that long and hasn't really made the advances that it should have, you know, it should be making. So I don't know. I would just, when I hear stuff like this, it just goes to show that it's a part of the natural development for, you know, things to get better over the course of time. But just, you know, I don't even know why we're still talking about IE. It should be. I think last time I had a Windows 10, when I first bought one Windows 10 operating system, it didn't even have like a shortcut to the browser. You have to search the computer to find Internet Explorer.
Yeah, I think most of it came from I'm gonna make this point, then we'll move on to the next topic, because the next topic kind of essentially has to do with the same thing, the crossover of Internet Explorer into Edge. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, the IT companies, you know, the IT staff, you know, people that work and do IT work for the bulk of the rest of the company. I mean, you've basically been enabling people to not have to switch to IE. You know, a company like Apple, if Apple ran IE and IE was doing as bad as it was, they would have scrapped it and rebuilt it.
Right.
I mean, yeah. They'd have been say, yo, we're done with this. It took a while for Microsoft to want to do that, because all these other companies kept saying, no, we got money invested in this. You can't just get rid of it. Right. And Microsoft sort of enabled it. And then the IT companies enabled it, because the real people that actually would be using Internet Explorer would be like data entry, or people that's just looking up data off of some database or some in-house application or something that they built in the office.
Correct.
I mean, like, they just didn't want to transition. You gotta rip that band-aid off. And that's what Microsoft basically is doing, like with switching over to Edge, and even going into this new topic with the new version of Edge. Like, they're basically just ripping that band-aid off and being like, yo, y'all just gotta come over.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they so with this new article about how Edge has come out. I don't know why they haven't just like made it so that Internet Explorer is completely uninstalled and that it's just completely gone. Like, they should just completely just remove it from Windows altogether and be like, yo, y'all just can't use this no more. That's just basically what needs to happen. But yeah, with this new version of Edge, if you guys haven't, if you got a Windows 10 computer, more than likely you get Microsoft Edge with it. Well, you definitely get Microsoft Edge with it. And most of you probably use Microsoft Edge all the way until the point where you get to Google and Google tells you, hey, we got Google Chrome. You want to try Google Chrome? And that's basically what happens. I think I read somewhere that the number one search on Google Bing from Internet Explorer is how to download Google Chrome. You know what I mean? Like, that's like the number one search. It's like, yo, as soon as I get on my computer, I need Chrome, because Chrome has basically been answering all the questions, all the issues that people have had with web browsers. Like, people have complained for web browsers for years and said all these features and functionalities. Firefox did a good job with it. A lot of people use Firefox, but Google with Chrome took it to a whole nother level because they involved the cloud with Chrome. Mm-hmm. And now Microsoft has basically cloned Chrome. They've taken a version of Chromium, which was what they call an open source version of software. It was just open to the public. Anybody can take a copy, a white label copy, and just make it their own. And Microsoft has decided, yeah, we're going to take that white label version of Chrome, which is called Chromium, and turn it into the new version of Edge. Chromium, the open source project, that's supported by Google primarily, because they're the number one company that puts money into it. But as I was telling my staff the other day, with open source technology, whoever puts the most money into it is the company that basically is running the project. Yeah. I mean, and Microsoft is now at the point where they're like, yeah, we're going to be using Chrome now, so we're going to be investing in the Chromium. Yeah, I mean, we're going to put our money into it as well to make sure that is a better product for everybody. And I was thinking at a point, like, Microsoft could ultimately take over Chrome if Google decides to back off in any way of responsibilities. If they say, yeah, we don't want to be responsible with dealing with Chromium at any point right now, Microsoft could easily take it over. But sure. Nonetheless, Microsoft. Yeah, I mean, but nonetheless, Edgium or some shit. Nonetheless, it's one of those things where now it's sort of centralized now, where everybody's sort of using the same platform. At least the main two, Microsoft and Google, are both essentially on the same platform. I feel like it's only a matter of time before Apple might do the same thing. Yeah. But you know, with their Safari version. But right now, it makes it so that, you know, people don't have a reason to immediately switch over anymore. If you download Edge and you have like extensions on your Chrome browser, you can actually import those extensions over. I mean, so that it immediately works with this version of Edge.
That's slick, man. Like, and I didn't want to mean to cut you off.
No.
Man, listen, I think that, Rob, this is interesting in so many ways, man. So, one, I've always paid attention to when companies make advances, how they, like, their mode of operation, right? And I think that, I can't remember the study, but they say a lot of times when companies go through a hard transition that benefits them, or, you know, something that, like, seriously impacts the company, it echoes the personality of the person that made the company. Yeah. Right? So you look at like what Apple's doing with a lot of their upgrades and, you know, the stuff that they constantly putting out. Like, it was a part of Steve Jobs' genius to be able to market technology in a beautiful way where people felt like they just needed it a part of their lives, right?
Yeah.
I think that's something that they although, you know, Steve Jobs is not alive any longer, I think that they still, you know, move with that mentality. So yeah,
people first, exactly.
And I think that when you look at something like this, why, as big as Microsoft is, it has its core products that pretty much sustains the company, whether it be the brand or the revenue. And what they've done essentially with taking, you know, a version of what I would say open source Chrome and making it their own and rebranding it and adding it on some things. It's like pretty much what they did back, you know, in the 80s. So as far as Bill Gates is did, you know, that what they had wasn't original. You see what I'm saying?
Like
they took something that was previously built, rebranded it as their own, and then based on them rebranding and their upgrades, it became what we know as Microsoft now. So it's like, that's what you see is happening with the Edge browser as well, is that they had some things going. Of course, it was bad at first with Internet Explorer. You know, they are trying to, you know, they have a soft scrap for that. It's like a soft bend. You know, they didn't really get rid of it, but they're making stuff on top of it, you know. But they had Microsoft Edge, which was built on their system, but they just said, you know, to cut that out, look and see what the industry is doing good and emulate that. So much so, not even just emulating, they just pretty much took a copy, added some new trinkets in, and here we are. They have an available browser now that's able to be downloaded on Mac OS, which a lot of people, you know, if you think about it, that's a big move, because, you know, they're finding ways to be able to integrate themselves into their competitor's platform.
Yep.
That's something, I guess, from a business standpoint.
That's what Google does. Google tries as much as possible to be a everywhere platform. Right. Like, we're going to build something for one person, we're going to build it for the next person. I mean, they got apps on every platform possible. And if they don't have an app for it, then they got a website for it.
Exactly. And I think what's brilliant, like you said, with Google, they found a way to spread themselves out without spreading themselves thin. And I think that's what Microsoft is doing with this, I don't know. It makes me question, you know, because I know that there's a lot of competition. Like, we talked about it before in a previous article, like the tech code war, that they are saying it's going to happen within the next decade. And it just makes me think, like, do they not really, you know, with Google and Microsoft, do they not look at each other as competitors? Or because I feel like Chrome had the competitive edge when it came to web browsing. So why would they allow Microsoft to have pretty much an open source version that they can create as their own? And then it's like, it's an interesting thing going on there.
That's the thing. That part, I think, is just, it's the nature of open source as a ideology, because, you know, open source is just a way of thinking about software, having it open to the public. I always think about it as the number two pencil versus the bit pen. Yeah, I mean, like, the number two pencil is designed in a way that's open to the public, where anybody can make a copy of the number two pencil, and, you know, you don't have to worry about what brand of number two, as long as it say number two.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, you can basically take any ABCD test possible. Yeah, I mean, like, number two. I mean, versus like a branded Bic pen is like, oh, I gotta make sure I got the Bic pen that has this type of ink in it and all of these particulars, and it makes it a little bit harder. It makes everything, when things are a little bit more proprietary, it makes things a little bit harder. And open source, having it open to the public, being as anybody can take this copy of the software, strip it down, build it back up in the way that they see fit. I mean, it allows for everything to be merged together. Like, everybody's sort of on the same plane at the same point. Like, Microsoft taking this version of Chrome and making it on, that gave them a massive leap. It gave them a massive leap. Yeah. Like, when they were like behind on the browser platform when it came to like who's the dominant ones. And a lot of that was just because you can't do certain things on an Explorer or you can't do certain things on Edge. And them just taking a version of Chrome just said, you know what? Everything that's been built for Chrome, everything that's been built for the newer browsers, now we can do. I mean, so you don't even have to go anywhere. I mean, so like, if they were like 50 steps behind, they immediately put themselves like 10 steps behind now. I mean, so they just made a major leap just by saying, you know what, we're going to just take this open platform and do it. And they've been supporting like Linux and stuff for a while. Like, Linux is that original open source platform. And they now that it's under Satya Nadella and no longer under Bill Gates, He just like, yo, we're going to take all this open free shit. We're going to just everything that's free is ours. We're
about to milk this.
It's ours. Oh, they got Android. We're about to take a copy of Android. I mean, like, oh, have Android open to the public? Yeah, we want to make a copy, make it our own. I mean, I'm still waiting to see that new Windows phone that come out, that Microsoft phone that come out. That's going to have Android on with the double screens on that butterfly joint. I'm pressed for that.
That I'm last joint they had this past decade was a flop, but yeah. I think they're coming back hard. Like, and what's cool, I see what's happening with Microsoft, man. I think they are they're kind of jumping back into being a lot more consumer driven. But I think what's given, like, because you know they're starting with like smaller things, like the intricate things, as far as like you said the day to day technology with like a phone, or you know the browser and stuff like that. They're focusing on making that, you know, catering to the consumer's needs. And what's good about that, I think me, if I was on the board at Microsoft, I feel like what I would be saying is because we have the leverage in other aspects of technology, like with the government contracting, and then just the mm-hmm. tenure and the backing and stuff like that, by us capturing the consumer, they'd put up that we would jump as Microsoft, we would jump ahead in so many levels, almost so be the leading front when it comes to technology. Because I think right now it's hard to tell who's in there as far as like who's leading it. Because you know, of course, Apple is heavy on the consumer stuff, but they have a lot of their flops too, as far as you know. I mean, like with iAds and all this other stuff. Yeah,
and they're good at hiding their flops too.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, they put out these fugazi articles that people buy into. Stuff like that. But you know, so it's kind of hard to tell like who's kind of leading the charge, who's up front when it comes to IT, when it comes to technology. But by them doing this, if they play their cards right within the next 10 years, man, it may be clear who's like running things, and it may, you know, maybe Microsoft. So, but I know it's going to be interesting to see how this goes down. Cause I know we had that article before with, review when it's talking about Google jumping into, having checking accounts now and Bitcoin. So it's about to get crazy.
Bank accounts. Yeah. It's about to be 2020 is just the start. It's already about to get nuts, bro.
Yeah.
Let's hit this last article of the night is going to be, of the show. I don't say tonight. We got two more shows for y'all. Last article was going to be Microsoft is going carbon negative, not even carbon neutral, carbon negative. And what does that actually mean for the company or in general? So if you don't know what carbon negative is or carbon neutral, it's a basic concept, really hard to do, but a basic concept where they basically want to make it so that they're not producing any more carbon in the air. You know, we've been talking about climate change and all of this stuff and how big of an impact it has on society. And one of the biggest factors of climate change is the pollution that we put in the air. So a company like Microsoft, who is basically one of the largest companies that we have in America and or the world in general, is basically attempting to try to do something about it by becoming carbon negative. And they're saying they're going to become 100% carbon negative by 2030. What that actually... Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting goal for them to do. Microsoft, Google actually has been in that same boat. They tried to do the same thing a while ago. They are basically doing the same thing. If you go to their websites and type in anything about carbon neutral, they promote being 100% carbon neutral already. And basically the way that they do that is by only investing in like, what do you say, renewable energy. So I mean, you know, the smart grid exists, so you can essentially get your power supply. If you ever seen one of these people knock on the door talking about, yeah, we got a new power distributor versus supplier concept going around, you know, that's they decentralized or democratized power so that you can have a supplier and then you can have a distributor. Usually the distributor is always the person that's or always the company that took over the neighborhood and has to be able to get power to your house. Yeah. But it all goes to the smart grid, and the smart grid can come from any power source. So you can choose to have electricity come from solar or have it come from wind or come from whatever. And Microsoft essentially Google has already done theirs, and they're doing theirs by basically winning solar and something about water where you're able to like have like machines in the water that, you know, the waves go back and forth in the ocean, and essentially it causes the machine to go back and forth and it generates power that way. So Google is already on that boat. Microsoft is attempting to do the same thing because they got a find ways to potentially keep more money, really. That's what it really is ultimately about, being able to keep. Yeah, because they I think it's about that ultimately, because that's a business that they can hop into versus a business that they can't hop into. Like, they can't necessarily hop into the coal industry or the oil industry. They're not hopping in. I'll say this. Microsoft is already in those industries because they all got every business got some type of Microsoft computer. So they all in that industry already. But when it comes to them actually like being the forefront leaders of a technology or an industry, renewable energies are still new enough where Microsoft can invest money into them at a lower rate and then ultimately potentially, you know, buy them out or partner up with these energy companies and be a sector of the energy companies in a way. And I got that being a thing that they're going to do. But that's down the line. Some of the ways that they're talking about actually doing this are like very basic ways right now. But more than likely Google is already doing this and they're like miles ahead on how they're actually implementing it. But Microsoft is sort of starting. One of the ways that they were saying it's like four different initiatives that they're going to attempt to do, four parts of their game plan, as it says. It's going to be afforestation and reforestation, which is essentially starting new forests or forests. And expand. It's just as at the end, so forests. Yeah, I mean, but like, so they're going to start new forests and expand existing ones. So, you know, forests or, you know, wooded areas that are already around, they're going to try to expand them out and they're going to try to create some new ones in new locations, or at least invest in companies.
This is really solid, man, because a lot of people don't know how important. I was one of those guys that didn't really think climate change was a thing or why it was important. But what people don't know, if you actually track it, over why this is such a key thing for Microsoft and why this is beneficial to them, not only just business wise, but then as well as branding and then their, I guess maybe you want to say their indoctrination methods, is that. So just a quick stat: what people don't know, the average person doesn't know that the climate is going up every year 2 degrees. When you hear that. Just in 1 year, two years, maybe it doesn't really seem like a lot, right? But over the course of 50 years, you know what I'm saying? Like, it goes up by two, and what is that? It's like 100 degrees?
Yeah, exactly.
So you think about why it's so important for them to jump into something like this now is because, like, if people don't find a way to deter, like, people from constantly polluting the this pollution going into the air and polluting things and raising the climate of the earth, you're talking about like apocalyptic things starting to happen. A lot of those things that where this stuff comes from, you look at the movies when they're saying this stuff and why it seems like it's so close, a lot of it is revolving, you know, climate change. And climate change affects us in so many different ways as far as like our energy sources, right? And then we're talking about just the overall energy sources of the world that affects the food that we consume,
right?
The livestock, you know what I mean? It affects everything down to how we conduct business and how we just live, where we are able to go to live. You see what I'm saying? As the climate starts to change, like for instance, I don't know if anyone has noticed it, but places where we're in an awkward position now, that places where snow doesn't happen, it's starting to happen. And then places where snow, it's starting to flip flop. You know what I mean? Like, I know down here in Atlanta, it's been crazy. Like 2 years ago, it's the coldest it's ever been, where it was like maybe like minus 10, it was like 10 degrees or something like that, where it's not supposed to get that cold in Atlanta. And on the flip side, we have been having tropical rainfall in this winter in Atlanta. And a lot of that stuff comes from how, I guess, the earth is adjusting to the change of the climate. So all in all, what I'm saying with this, why this is so key with Microsoft jumping into this, with being not just carbon neutral, meaning like they're keeping it the same, but being carbon negative, meaning they're taking away from, you know, the pollution that they provide. Why it's so key is because this affects everybody's lives in a way
around the world,
and it's in the most intricate ways. Where if change doesn't happen, a lot of the usual things we use or just our everyday lives are affected in a way that keeps us from being as progressive as people. I don't want to jump into, I guess, my humanitarian speeches, but no, yeah. This is a really good thing, man.
There's going on in the Amazon. There's fires going on in Australia. There's fires in freaking California.
And I mean,
things didn't happen the way they have before.
They don't like, and people don't like, so I was kind of on edge about that. Cause I'm like, man, what, are people like going and setting these fires? Like, no, these are coming from, again, be it the world is just warmer now, you know, trees are not getting everything they need. So, you know, you have things that trees falling on each other in these forests, and then that sparks the fire. You have different things like places where there should be ponds and like big lakes of water starting to disappear. Yeah, so
a couple of other ways. They got a couple of other things on here about other things that they're doing. They were talking about like using soil that they were going to try to capture some of the carbon from the air or the atmosphere to be able to put it into the soil. I mean, I think part of that is recreating the forests because, like you said, they're all burning. Yeah. So we got to like rebuild them, essentially. Right. You got to put some effort into actually recreating. We can't just let nature recreate them. We sort of got to put in the same work that we put to destroy them in the first place into actually making them renewed and having them actually do the job that they naturally were doing in the first place. Like the Amazon jungle, they consider that the world's lungs, and right now the world's lungs is on fire. I mean, the world's lungs is definitely smoked out right now. I mean, another thing they were talking about doing was like bioenergy with carbon capture and storage. Essentially, I'm assuming they're going to use carbon to be a energy source. I don't know how that's going to pan out. I haven't really heard much about using
that's some carbon. Next level shit.
Yeah. It's like the new age system. Like you're going to just recycle carbon somehow. You're going to turn the carbon that's in the air that you burnt out back into some type of energy, turn it into coal and get some shit. But and then the last thing they're talking about is just capturing it like normal, like people keep talking about just capturing it, but not necessarily having a future plan. So like the last three basically are talking about capturing it in some form. The first two have a plan, the last one just capturing and holding it for some
I'm filtering it, but yeah.
And they said they're gonna try to ultimately their goal is that by 2050 that they wanna be able to, because they're talking about being carbon negative. So they're talking about being able to go in reverse of the carbon that they've already output in the past. And they want to be able to reverse all the carbon that they've emitted since 1975, since they were founded. I mean, so that's a task in itself, like not even just being carbon neutral going forward, but trying to reverse the issues, the damage that they've already done as their own company. I wish, you know, an energy company would make that type of decision, but, you know, that's their money.
Yeah, that's, so they're not going to mess up. They're not going to do that.
They got another way to make money. But that's what neither here nor there. It's good to see Microsoft taking a step toward it. Like I said, Google's doing it. I would love to see Amazon doing it, too, because Amazon is probably one of the biggest carbon spenders right now. You know, they got the trucks, they got the airplanes, they got the trains got and all that things. Stuff. Yeah. I mean, they doing transportation like no other. Yeah, I mean, so like I would love to see them actually participating in that, but that's a long, long, long stretch down the road. Yeah. But yeah, man, I think that's the end of the topics for the day. If y'all want to know more, hear more, you know, you got to do the damn thing. You got to like, subscribe, comment, share the post, you know, love when you share it. And also more than anything, go ahead and like subscribe to the podcast themselves. So if you got an iPhone or if you got an Android, go ahead and subscribe to that show. More than likely this show really, cause Microsoft isn't necessarily like a lifestyle brand company per se. I mean, so like Microsoft, I got that show being for the diehards, but most of the diehards even got an Android or iPhone nonetheless. So if you like the Microsoft show, go ahead and subscribe to that one. And, got anything to say, Mike?
No, I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head, man. Y'all know what to do. I really feel, honestly, there is no other, well, you gotta be confident, man. There's no other podcast, no other tandem that's doing what we're doing in the setting or with the ideas we have.
Yeah.
And with that being said, man, y'all go ahead and subscribe to us, like, comment. Like you said, like what Mike said, if you have an Android or if you have a phone, because I don't know if I have no other type of phone, man. If you have a phone, you can find us on that phone, whether it be, you know, you go on iTunes or Google Play, like we're there. So like you said, man, we got more coming your way. That's pretty much all I got to say.
Yeah. But y'all take it easy out there. This has been Mike B. Mike B. Microsoft Recap. Take it easy.
Holla.
Holla. Peace.